Friday, August 26th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I would like to take you to an article that appeared recently in the Christian Post written by Robin Schumacher. The name of the article, "The Number One Reason True Believers Leave a Church." Harry, Robin points out that although there are a number of reasons that are very superficial, the author's thought is the number one reason is not superficial at all. It is a lack of genuine biblical worship.
You know, Tom, periodically as you and I search through what articles would help us communicate a Christian world and life view and what articles are bringing challenges to the people that we need to assist and work with them to answer so that we are always ready to give an account of the hope that's within us. And it's enjoyable to prayerfully consider the various stories that come to us, but periodically there comes a story that just I really, really resonate with, and this is one of them. The reality is when the church growth movement took hold, at the same time, a kind of Christian pragmatism took hold. And all of a sudden, worship, which is designed in the Bible to call God's people together as one for the express purpose of giving praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in spirit and in truth. God's word is truth, so God gives us the elements of worship. So when we assemble, he tells us to preach the word, he tells us to give the tithe and offering, he tells us that we're to assemble on the Lord's Day, he tells us that we are to give praise to God with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're to make a confession of sin, we are to proclaim the gospel, and those are the elements of worship. In other words, in worship, in Reformed theology, the big debates took hold around worship, the administration of the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, the singing of hymns, the participation of the people, the role of preaching, the role of prayer. All of those things became regulated by a principle, and that principle is called a regulative principle of worship. And what is that? We can only do in worship what God commands. And what happens now is people go to Christian churches that claim to be evangelical, and there's another principle that's at work. We can do anything in worship that brings people into the worship service, as long as it's not forbidden in the Scripture. We can only do in worship what God commands. Why did God deliver Egypt so that they would go to Mount Sinai and worship him? With all due respect, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the worship of God is not a magnet. The worship of God is what God created us to do, what God saves us to do, and what God in his providence sustains us to do. Why did he redeem us? To the praise of his glorious grace. Why did he create us? That we might glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is fallen man? Fallen man hates worship. All have sinned and intentionally, from the heart, come short of God's glory. A second problem is that in church growth, the worship service is seen as the evangelistic tool. Now, I actually believe evangelism takes place in worship, but the purpose of worship is not evangelism. The purpose of worship is, guess what? Worship. We worship God, who has revealed himself in creation and in his word. We worship a Trinitarian God. We praise the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. And he tells us there is true worship and there's false worship. The true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And amazingly, the Bible says something it never says in any other place, that God seeks something. God seeks true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So, Tom, the writer's right. Believers are leaving worship services. Why? Because they're not worship services. They're entertainment venues. They're concerts. They're all kinds of things that we think is going to help the church grow. Actually, the church grows by evangelism and discipleship. And the main way you do evangelism is not in the gathering of the church on the Lord's Day, but in the scattering of the church. Now, let me again say, before I get misrepresented, do I believe that evangelism can happen in a worship service? Absolutely, it ought to happen. But it's what I would call doxological evangelism. It's not seeker-centered worship, which is an oxymoron. It is God-centered worship by definition. And that's what will capture the hearts of unbelievers when the Holy Spirit says, now that is what you need. And the Holy Spirit opens hearts and minds to hear the word in the midst of the preaching of the word. And another thing that has happened is the devaluating of preaching and discipleship and evangelism. Yet, what does the Bible say? You're saved by faith, and faith comes by what? Hearing. It's through the foolishness of the message preached that we are being saved. And so here is preaching. It initiates the cascade of discipleship in the life of a believer, and it presents the gospel to those that believers bring to hear the gospel in the worship service. It's through the preaching of the word that unbelievers are saved, either the formal preaching in a worship service or the informal preaching of people sharing the gospel one-on-one in the lives of people. So I believe that this person is right. This shrinkage of attendance in worship is not only the fact that we're not doing evangelism in the community to bring people to Christ, which is what brings them to worship, but it's also because when people come to worship that are believers, they're not hearing something that helps them grow in grace. What they are experiencing is entertainment. And yes, it has a momentary effect, but it doesn't put ballast in the soul. You don't mature. And thus they go to podcasts and everything they can possibly find instead of going into the context of church. So, hear the word of God. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. And leaders in the church, get back to being the church, the equipping center and the enabling center, where through making disciples, you worship God in spirit and in truth. That's your ministry to God. You evangelize the lost as you scatter into the community, and anyone that's brought into the gathered worship that doesn't know Jesus will see and hear the gospel from the pulpit. And then you enfold believers into the family of God, the church, to shepherd them, and then you teach them to observe all that He has commanded so that you are equipping them in and for Christ. And then let's see what happens, as I believe people who are truly converted are hungry for God's word. They want to sing it, they want to preach it, they want to confess it, they want to pray it, and they are actually there to give praise to God. And there's only one spectator, and that is God. He created us, saves us, and sustains us for true worship. And that's what will begin to grow the worship services on the Lord's Day. God-centered worship. Sing the word, read the word, preach the word, pray the word, share the word, and display the word in the sacraments. And then the word of God points us to the majesty and glory of the God of the word. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
As the church leadership goes, so goes the church. Dr. Harry Reeder's book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter, a great resource for your personal library, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today and perspective.